God. Now, we're going to move into the second in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And we understand it's a cluster of fruit. Just like the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, it's the one you need at the moment. You know, Corinthians, as a church, they focused on what was visible. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, you know, they could turn that on, turn it off. And they thought that was a gauge of spirituality. What they didn't understand was all nine of them need to be in operation in the church for the moment that you need them. Amen. Because when you need a word of knowledge, it's not going to come through tongues and interpretation. You're going to need a word of knowledge now. You need a word of wisdom. You're sitting in a situation that may even be life-threatening. And you need a word of wisdom now. The Spirit of God comes through. Amen. So, in the same manner, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all focus or function in a similar way. The ones you need for the moment is there. So, we're going through a list, but we understand they've all got to be present. You know, when the Lord said, "These signs shall follow them that believe," and then he went into a list of power that was going to be displayed. I think we can also include the fruit of the Spirit as a sign that follows. Amen. We don't wear a sign. I have the fruit of the Spirit. We show what the Lord is able to do through us. Amen. Praise God. When the pressure is on, you know, the tube of toothpaste, the only way to get it out is to press it. I guess there are some real fancy ones now that you can use, but the good old tube that we have in our bathroom, you press on it and the paste comes out and you put it on your brush and you get busy. Well, the pressure is on many times in our lives. And what's on the inside is what's going to come out. So, the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Jude 24, just to start out with here. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able. Are you glad for God's ability?
Yes,
divine ability. Praise God. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not just with joy, but exceeding joy. Praise God. Jude would write some very powerful verses in his one chapter book, and how powerful that is for us today to recognize we can put our trust in the one who is able, and the exceeding joy that he gives is what we are able to receive. So we'll call this, Brother Levi, the choice to rejoice. The choice to rejoice. Now, Paul, in writing to the Philippians, writes the word rejoice nine times. Verse 4 of chapter 4, two of those are included. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Praise God. He nailed two of the nine right there. But actually, 19 times in the four chapters of Philippians, 19 times a reference to rejoicing or having joy is mentioned. It almost sounds as though Paul is on a cruise. He's having a great time. Very easy for him to write about rejoice. Or he's in a fine resort, all expenses included. And he's just laid back and easy to say rejoice. But we know that's not the case. And not a paradise at all. It's prison. A Philippian prison. And yet he writes about rejoicing. Now, let's compare happiness to joy. Well, let me first ask you, do you think they're the same thing? Happiness and joy? Oftentimes, happiness depends on what's happening. They begin the same way. What's happening? If I happen to run into a friend in town and we have a short conversation, but an uplifting one, it makes me happy to see my friend and to have that interaction. Things just happen to turn out right. I happened to find a good deal, and I'm happy. But the opposite often happens. If those things don't happen, then happiness is elusive. So there is a difference, because happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is a choice, the choice to rejoice. It's not dependent on outside circumstances, because it's a choice that I make on the inside. It's an inside job. That's why the fruit of the Spirit on the inside, the Spirit of God on the inside of you, is showing evidence of the fruit of the Spirit on the outside, and that joy then is part of what the Lord wants to display in your lives. Now, we talk about hope. And again, there are themes in the Scriptures that we find pretty readily. Paul wrote about hope in the book of Romans several times. I didn't count them up, but I listed them here, and maybe in the process we can count them. Romans 5 and 1, we talk about being justified by faith, and that's a real strong theological point that can be traced all the way back to Martin Luther, who talked about the just shall live by faith. Actually, four passages that reinforce that, and he just happened to find it. And then came the Reformation. But we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Wow, look at that. Peace, faith, grace, all these wonderful things that we enjoy because we are serving the Lord. And then notice how verse 2 goes on, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith and grace, we stand, and he helps us stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And verse 5 of chapter 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Praise God. Romans 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope. Again, like 5 and 2, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 15 and 4. Romans 15 and 4. We, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen. I'm thankful for the Scriptures. We do get comfort and patience, recognizing the Lord will honor His Word. Chapter 15, verse 13. And this one's really one of my favorites. Now, the God of hope, that's why we have hope, because he's a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm thankful there's all joy that we're able to receive from the Lord, and peace, and the God of hope through the power of the Holy Ghost giving you abundant hope. Amen. Now, here's the dichotomy again. Some people think hope is based on things, based on what things like jobs, investments, talents, appearance, whether it's a house or the car or the brand name clothes or whatever. They think that hope is based on those kinds of things and not on the Lord. We know he's the God of hope. The scripture tells us that. So we're going to base our hope on him, not on things, because things can be taken away very quickly. It can be taken away. And hope, if it's based on those things, is gone too. But thank God, the Lord is forever. And so that's where our hope lies. And Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, I like to think Paul did, but whoever wrote Hebrews says it's an anchor. Hope is an anchor of the soul. And that that anchor is steadfast. It's sure. In Hebrews 6 and 19. Hebrews 6, 19. We have an anchor of the soul, and it's hope. And it enters into that within the veil. It goes beyond just the natural scope of things and into the very presence of God. Amen. Sure and steadfast. In verse 18, the verse just before that one we read about hope being an anchor of the soul, Paul advises, or again I'm saying Paul, lay hold upon the hope set before us. Lay hold on it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it float away. And hold on to it. Praise God. Because there's a purpose then that God has for our lives. A purpose in every situation. All things work together for good to them who love God. We believe that. We believe there's a purpose there. In fact, the Bible talks about an eternal purpose. So if we identify with what God is doing in our lives and try to find purpose in it, we can recognize the hand of God then in every situation, because problems are with us all the time, every day. And that's not a negative outlook. I'm not being fatalistic. I'm just recognizing, you know, everything can be moving along very well, and all of a sudden it's not moving along very well. And we've got to be aware of those kinds of things, because joy is not the absence of suffering. There again, that's happiness. If I'm feeling good, I'm happy. If I'm sick or if I'm hurting, I've got pain, happiness is put on the shelf. Joy is not the absence of suffering, but it's the presence of God. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That scripture in Romans 15:13 said, all joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy. Here, the fullness of joy is what we find in the presence of the Lord. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank God that he's the one who is able to provide that and the blessing that we know. And then Peter lets us know we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God gives us another language to express that joy. And thank God that's the evidence of his power. Now, Paul is very candid in 2 Corinthians 12 when he says, I had a thorn in my flesh. It was a messenger of Satan. It was buffeting me. I didn't like it. I prayed. Three times I prayed, Lord, remove this thorn. And what he heard back was not what he was expecting. My grace is sufficient for you. What kind of answer is that? Well, he understood that the grace of God was going to be more than enough. And that's what sufficient means. It means enough to meet the needs. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to be sunken down in the problems and difficulties. You're gonna feel the Lord being sufficient for you. Praise God. And Paul's reaction still intrigues me in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I haven't gotten to that point yet. I try, but I don't like my infirmities. They tend to cloud the day and keep me from seeing the hand of God. But Paul recognized the power of Christ is going to rest upon me. When I'm weak, then am I strong. He understood there was a transition that was being made. There was a trade-off that he could rely upon. And so in verse 10, he not only glories in his infirmities, he takes pleasure in infirmities. My goodness, that's going a little too far. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. You know, he's going down his list now. And up, these things are not going to upset me. These things are not going to pull me down. These things are not going to overwhelm me because his grace is sufficient. Praise God. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's, again, very similar to what he wrote in Romans 5 and 3. We glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulation. Glory in infirmities. Take pleasure in infirmities. Well, we need to remember Romans 8 that talks about the Spirit helps our infirmities. Praise God. And that's how we're able to hold on. Now, the process of positive production through problems, through things that we face and that we're up against here. Romans 5 and 3, we come back to that. Glory in tribulations. Tribulation works patience. Tribulation works patience. Patience brings experience, which brings hope. And what does hope do? Does it heap shame upon you? Does it make it seem like all is lost? No, hope maketh not ashamed. Praise God. Now, let's look at Romans 3 through 5 in the New Living Translation. Here's how it reads. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. A lot of good things that come out of there. Positive production from problems. We didn't realize they were that helpful, did we? I still don't like them. I'm still not going to welcome them. But it helps us to recognize God is with us. God is there to provide for us. Amen. Look at Romans 5:11. He continues this idea of the Lord and the strength that he provides for us. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement. Oh, wow. That's definitely something to rejoice in and recognize the Lord has ministered his power of salvation and made known his redemption. And because of his blood, we now have atonement, and we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. The atoning power of the blood and what he did for us on the cross, how he paid the price for us. Amen. We are reconciled. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. the whole world. He paid the price for the whole world. And thank God, that power, that blessing, that strength is within us. So we can recognize God with us, God for us, God in us. That's a saving combination. Look at Isaiah 43 and 2. Isaiah 43 and 2. This is the promise of the Lord saying, I will be with thee. I'll be with thee. You pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. You go through the rivers, I'll be with thee. They shall not overflow thee. You walk through the fire, I will be with thee. And you're not going to be burned. And nor is the flame going to kindle upon thee. In other words, it's not going to develop into a huge conflagration and you're going to be swallowed up. You're not going to be overwhelmed. It's not going to consume you. You're going to be able to continue by the power of God. Amen. So our rejoicing because of what the Lord could do for us. Amen. And the question is asked in Romans 8 also, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's not a challenge to say, okay, let's see who can be against us. No, it's just qualifying the fact that it doesn't matter what or who or when. The Lord, by his power, is going to be there. Praise God. So we thank the Lord. Jesus is Emmanuel, and we focus on that, I suppose, at Christmas time, but I'm glad we can hold on to that promise anytime. He is with us. Praise God. And his power continues to be displayed. Now, let me ask you this. Is joy something that you can develop like a muscle? Is it something that you can work and make bigger, stronger, greater? Is joy a spiritual workout? I guess in some ways it is, isn't it? I'm not going to lose my joy in the circumstances or whatever. You know, because it's fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't come and go. It's something that I hold on to and I exercise like a muscle. I develop gratitude. You know that 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God. Be thankful in everything. Give thanks in everything. And we stipulate it doesn't say for everything, but in everything. And probably the reason that we can do that is because it's very similar to the passage we read in Isaiah. The fire, the river, the water, those are things you can rejoice in because the Lord is with you. Gratefulness produces happiness, and joy cultivates that. Amen. Now, if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, the letters of Christ are in red. There's a few that are red in the book of Acts, right? And you go all the way to chapter 20. And there should be some red letters there in a statement attributed to the Lord. And what is that statement? It is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. You know, and we made the observation once before, when it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. And we recognize, oh, more blessed to give than receive. Okay, so I need to, you know, develop that cheerfulness. I'm glad you're cheerful here. Amen. Let's take up an offering. Cheerful givers. Praise God. That's who God loves, right? We looked at that scripture that Thomas shared and emphasized that love not Well, God loves a cheerful giver. And thank the Lord, that's where we can operate. That's where we can develop that joy. And God bless you for giving so much, for being such a giving church. And the Lord continues to give back to us. So it's a powerful combination. We also develop inner joy through serving. Ephesians 6 and 7. We seek out ways to serve in the church. And here's what it says. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So we challenge our young people. It's not serve us, it's service. Service, not serve us. And that's what we challenge them to do. Praise God. And they've grabbed a hold of that. And then we recognize those of us who are advancing in years. Well, we're all advancing in years, I guess. Those of us who are in advanced years, let's say it that way, need help with our jobs around the church. Nice to have more hands doing the work. And thank the Lord for the young people who are willing to step in and help out. Praise God. But I recognize at some point down the road, I don't see it yet, but I recognize at some point down the road, I'm going to be sitting down. I'm going to be the amen corner. I'm going to be hollering, preach it. That's good preaching. And I'll say under my breath, you learned that from me, didn't you? No, I won't. But here's my point. I've got to come to the point where I'm going to step back and let someone else. And that's what you've got to do, too. Don't be so protective of what you have. No matter how good a job you do, at some point you're going to have to step back. And this is mine, bless God. No, recognize there's somebody coming up that you need to mentor, that you need to train, you need to help, and then you need to smile and step back and say, you're doing a great job. That's good. I'm proud of you. Amen. And then go find something else to do. Praise God. But seek out ways to serve. That's very important. And the testimony, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Thank God we can share that testimony with others. Be thankful, be joyful, because the Lord has done a work in your life. And it started with someone praying for you, talking to you, spending time with you. The angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Praise God. Let's make sure they continue to rejoice by reaching out to people and bringing them to the house of the Lord so that they can come to repentance. The goodness of God leading them to repentance. I love Romans 2 and 4. Amen. I hold to that. Oh, God. Let my brother and sister-in-law experience the goodness of God, and let that goodness lead them to repentance. Amen. And he is, a little at a time. Praise God. And I believe there's going to come that time of baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because the goodness of God leading them. Amen. And we claim that. Praise God. And our testimonies continue on about how good God is, how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. Amen. And those blessings that he desires to bring forth. You know, that passage in Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's easy to read that. It's easy to focus on Nehemiah 8 and 10 and forget what the circumstances are that were going on there, that Nehemiah would write that. Ezra 6 and 22, the Lord had made them joyful. Nehemiah 8 and 10, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, in both those admonitions, both those statements, they were facing opposition. I mean, they had come back from captivity. They were now in Jerusalem. They were rebuilding the wall. They were supposed to be rebuilding the temple. They were up against some difficult things. In fact, Nehemiah 4 and 17, they were working with one hand and holding a weapon in the other hand. It wasn't all, you know, a picnic, a banquet, things going on real easy for them. No, they were having a tough time. But yet, that admonition came forth, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And also Ezra 6 and 22, the Lord made them joyful. So we do the work of God. Amen. We engage and we involve ourselves. Amen. We're doing the work of God. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 are so powerful. And I love how Paul calls them, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain. Praise God. If it's in the Lord, it's not in vain. Amen. You can take joy in that and know that the Lord will not let it just lie and fall and falter, doing the work of the Lord. The 70 in Luke 10 that went out two by two, praise God. I think that's important. Encourage one another, pray for one another, and so on. You know, a pygmy was guarding an elephant. The elephant had been knocked down and had been gutted, and he was standing there guarding it when somebody else came along and saw him, stood there and looked at it for a moment and said, how did you kill that? You know, pygmies, of course, are really small tribe, short. He said, with my club. How big is your club? Oh, there's about 60 of us. My point is unity. You're probably not going to get it done yourself, but if you have unity, and that's what the Lord sent these two by two out for, 70 of them, 35 pairs, praise God. They returned very sad, crestfallen, depressed. I didn't know how they returned. They returned with joy. Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? Amen. Give the devil a bad day. Praise God. He messes with you enough. Turn the tables on him. Praise the Lord. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow, that's an incredible promise. And then what did Jesus do? Nevertheless, this is what you should rejoice in, that your name is written in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yeah, that would be a powerful thing. And then what? Then Jesus rejoiced. You know, there are not very many instances where that is noted. We know he wept. He wept several times. We know he prayed. But Jesus rejoicing is not recorded too often in the scriptures. It's kind of like marvels. The Lord marveled twice in the scripture. He marveled when people didn't have faith. And then he marveled when the man had great faith. Jesus marveled. I hope we do things that make him marvel, and I hope we do things that make him rejoice. Amen. Praise God. And when we get a hold of the power, when we get a hold of the promise, when we get a hold of what God can do, I believe he'll rejoice. And when he sees our faith, I believe he can marvel. Praise God. So let's do those things that will cause the Lord to do that. Amen. And now, when Jesus rejoiced, he said, there are a lot of prophets and kings desiring to see what you're seeing and to hear what you're hearing. See, this is what he was rejoicing in, that it had come to fulfillment. And not only the fulfillment, but they were fulfilling it. They were getting it. The revelation was coming to them. And that's why he was rejoicing. Praise God. But I thought about, oh my, prophets and kings desiring. And I know the Bible says the angels desire to look into the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And angels would love to experience what you have. Amen. And they're in the presence of the Lord all the time. But yet they'd love to have that experience of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It must be something powerful. It must be something wonderful. Thank God. Make sure you cherish it. Make sure you treasure it. Make sure you live it. Praise God. And that power and that blessing continues to be there for you. Amen. Now, back to Acts 20. Not the more blessed to give than to receive, but this time a statement of joy that Paul would make in verse 24. Here's his determination. I want to finish my course with joy. With joy, I'm going to finish. Now, we know he wrote to Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Praise God. That includes us. We love his appearing. Amen. We're looking forward to it. And the Lord's going to give that crown. Praise the Lord. Now, we're at the end here. Jude 24, we're back where we started. Jude 24, now unto him, praise God, that all is in him, the fullness, amen. And thank God, he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that. Think about that. No falling. No faults. And he's going to present you, praise God, forever in the presence of his glory. Oh, no wonder we can have exceeding joy. No wonder we can be excited. No wonder we can be thrilled. Amen. Everything that he's done. Stand with me, please. God bless you tonight. I know the world has a lot of superficial joy, superficial peace, superficial happiness. It's surface, and it doesn't go deep, and it's dependent on a lot of things. And the pressure is on for you and me to buy into that. And, oh, I've got to have this, I've got to have that, and so on. Now, I believe the Lord wants you to have nice things. I do. Amen. That's why he made the promise, you know, give, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You won't even be able to receive it. Praise God. But we also recognize the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Amen. So, our joy is in our relationship with the Lord. And I read where sometimes relationship, well, and rightfully so, relationship elevated over rules, over regulation, relationship. But there's still rules. There's still regulations. I don't throw those away. You know, my relationship with the Lord, however, makes it easier for me to follow through. And I do so joyfully. Joyfully. Because of his goodness. Amen. Come and stand here for just a little bit before we head downstairs. God bless you. Thank you so much for being faithful. I don't take it lightly. I don't consider it just something that we have to do on a Thursday night, or we have to do on a Sunday morning, or any of those kinds of things. Thank God, it's a choice. It's a joy. It's a it's a furtherance of that relationship with the Lord. Amen. And whatever I can do to make the Lord joyful, whatever I can do to make the Lord marvel, that's what we want to engage in. Praise God. Amen. And if he marveled at someone else's faith or lack of faith in Nazareth, you know, in that situation, and he rejoiced when the disciples were getting revelation, praise God. Let's repeat that process and just let the Lord continue to provide for us. Amen. Amen. Now, here's how I want us to pray. I want us to pray, Lord, the fruit of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit. It's not bitter. It's not hard to swallow. It's not unpleasant. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's precious. It's good. You know, all of those synonyms and adjectives that we can drum up of how positive and wonderful it is. We'd run out of them before we could describe how good it is. But we're going to pray, God, let that be manifest in me. Let it really be manifest in me. Amen. Because there are others that need to see. Not, look at me. No, look at him. Look at him. Praise God. And let him do the work in us. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, so great salvation. Jesus, you've provided for us so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, that it's not mediocre. It's not average. It's not just something that we can take for granted. But, oh, Lord, so powerful you did a work.